We're holding on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis by the Mishnah, so about the middle of the Amud. Mishnah says, Yavum Katan Shabal Yavum Katana. We learned before that a 9-year-old, a boy, and older, then his Bia is considered Bia. So we said he's capable of doing Yibum to a certain extent. We learned earlier in the Masechta that Tosfos learns that it's only Derabanan, and Rashi in some places learns that it may even be Daraisa. Whatever the case, though, it's not really a full Yibum. A full Yibum would only take place after he's 13. So Yavam Katan Shabal Yavam Katana. So if he as a Katan has relations with her as a Katana, so a proper Yibum has not really been done, and you can't divorce because a Katan is not able to give a get. Therefore, Yigdulu Zayin Zeh, let them grow up with one another. After that, they can stay married, they can stay together. And once they become bar and bas mitzvah respectively, then they can decide whether he wants to give her a get or whether they want to stay married. Similarly, bar yivama gdola, the same way, if it was a katan and yivama was a gdola and he had relations with her, same thing, tigadlenu, let her raise him, and again, eventually, when he becomes bar mitzvah, then they can decide what to do. Another din. How Yavama Sha'omra B'Seich Shloshim Yom Lo Nivalti. If the Yavama says during the first 30 days after the Yavam married her that we haven't had relations. Now the Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about where she has a get in her hand. So the question becomes then, what is the nature of this get? She's claiming we haven't yet had relations, meaning that this get only covers the mimer, there still has to be done something for the zika, namely that I need chalitza. Whereas he's saying, no, I actually had relations with you, and now this is a regular get, so now you're free to go. So within the 30 days, there's a good chance, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that he has not, in fact, had relations with her. And we know until he does, then the Yibum has not been accomplished. No, that was the first case. This is just a regular Gadol and Gadol.
They didn't have relations in the first 30 days.
She's claiming that they haven't had relations in the first 30 days, right.
And we believe her because that's more likely.
We're going to say in the Gemara because it's more likely that within 30 days, he may have held back, as we'll see in the Gemara, yeah. So therefore, we force him to give her chalitza because we accept that her claim is more likely to be true, and therefore she needs chalitza as well as the get. But if it's after 30 days, then it's less likely that what she's saying is correct. It's more likely that in fact he did have relations with her. So we believe him. So instead, we ask him to give her chalitza. We say, in other words, basically, you know, if she obviously doesn't want you, go give her chalitza and let her go free. But we don't demand it. We don't force him to do it. He says, after all, I did the illah. There's no reason I should have to do chalitza. And after all, he has a valid counterclaim that he doesn't want to do chalitza. And we show him give a couple of reasons why. Tosfos said it's embarrassing that she's going to have to spit in front of him in Beis Din, so he doesn't want to go through with that. The Nemuka Yosef also points out he may say, listen, I'm claiming that I had relations with her. If all I have to do is give her a get, that still leaves open the possibility that later on I may be reconciled with her and be able to remarry her. And as long as she hasn't married anybody else in between, he'll be able to do that. As opposed to, if I give her chalitza, then she's off limits to me forever, and I don't want to do that. On the other hand,
if he's a Kohen?
If he's a Kohen, that's different. Maybe, in fact, in that case, based on the Nemuka Yosef's reason, maybe for a Kohen actually would be different.
Can he remarry her?
Well, obviously not. No, a Kohen can't marry a Grusha. Yeah.
Even if he gave her the get that before he was... Well, before he was bar mitzvah, he cannot give a get, you're saying?
No. Before bar mitzvah, he can't give a get, period. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, this is a separate case. First, we talked about the case of a katan and a katana, or the case of a katan and a gdola. Now, we're talking about they're both gdolim, but she's claiming that he didn't have relations with me during the first 30 days. So now, after 30 days, we say he's claiming that he did. So therefore, because the Gemara is going to say, we don't expect that that's going to go as long as 30 days without him doing that. Therefore, it's more likely that he did. So now, what happens is, why does she need a get at all? Is because, so she wants chalitza because it's called shavisa l'nafsha chaticha d'isura. She in effect has said that I am also to everybody else without chalitza, so therefore she wants chalitza in order to take care of that problem. However, since that was her initiative that did that, and he's disagreeing, and it's after 30 days, so we have more of a chazaka that most likely he did have relations with her, then therefore we can't force him to give chalitza, we can only ask him to. But if he doesn't want to, then we can't do anything further. Continue.
And she's stuck forever?
Well, until they figure out what the situation is. Either we find out that she's lying, and in fact they did have relations, and in that case all she needs is a get, or it turns out that he's lying and they didn't have relations, and then
because one of them has to tell the truth.
It's not really the case of an aguna, because here it's just a matter one or the other of them is telling saying something untrue. Continues the Mishnah.
But she's still stuck. What are we doing about that?
What we're doing about it is we have to find out what the story is. We're going to try to ferret out the facts. But until we once the facts are established one way or the other, then we'll know what needs to be done. Meanwhile, if we can get him to give her chalitza, so much the better. If not, then if he insists, I don't want to do chalitza, I don't want to be spat at in front of, like Tosfos says, or I want to have the possibility open to remarry her, like the Mukha Yosef says, and she's meanwhile insisting, no, I need chalitza, and he's saying, but it's after 30 days, then there's not a lot we can do. I mean, he has a valid claim. It would be like any other case of Dine Momenus where you're counterclaims. All we can do is try to find out the facts. Anyway, let's go on.
But the Beis Din cannot force him.
No, that's the point. We can't force him because there's much more reason to believe that his claim is true. Now, if he agrees, if he admits that, in fact, I've not had relations with her yet, then even if it's 12 months later, we force him to give her chalitza because at that point, we know the fact. They're both agreeing that in fact they haven't had relations. And again, as we're going to say in the Gemara, we're talking about over here where in fact she actually already has a get in her hand, so therefore we know that Yibum was precluded anyway. Continues the Mishnah. Hanederes Hanav Mivama. Here's another thing. Suppose that she made a neder not to have Hanav from her Yavam. So now, if she made that neder, B'chaye Baila, if she made that neder while her husband was alive, so therefore she didn't necessarily have in mind that it's going to preclude her from Yibum. She didn't like her brother-in-law, and therefore she was angry at him, and she made such a neder. But it wasn't necessarily meant to preclude Yibum. Nevertheless, the fact is that now her husband has passed away, and now she is up for Yibum to this Yavam whom she hates. Therefore, Kofino says she achlitzva. So again, we force him to give her chalitza. But if she made this neder after her husband died, where it's clear that she's doing it in order to avoid Yibum, then we ask him to do her chalitza. We don't force him, because at that point it's not his fault basically that Yibum is not possible. It's her fault for making such a neder, and therefore all we can do is ask him to give her chalitza, but we can't force him. It's not even a matter of, Tosfos points out, we don't even say that, well, why isn't he made for the neder? And the reason is because he can't be made for the neder until he actually takes her as a wife, namely does have relations with her, and the whole point is she's trying to avoid that. So therefore, there's nobody right now who can be made for her neder. If she's not the neder, that's something else, but he can't necessarily be made for. Actually, Tosfos says there may be a machlokas on that point, but even if we say that he could, we could still say that she's the one who took the initiative. She's the one who made the neder in the first place. Therefore, it doesn't make such a chiyuv on him that we should force him. All we can do is ask him. And again, the Mishnah continues, if when she made the neder, she specifically had in mind, she said, I know that I'm going to soon be up for Yibum because we don't have children. And so she made this neder while her husband was alive to preclude Yibum. Then even b'chay afilo b'chay v'ayla, even if she made the neder while her husband was alive, we still ask him only to give her chalitza rather than forcing him because it's her fault basically that Yibum cannot be done there. Okay, so the Gemara starts with the first case of the Mishnah about the Yovam Katan and the Yovam Katana. So we have two cases. One was he's a Katan and she's a Katana, and the other one was he's a Katan and she's a Gdola. And in both cases, we said that's fine. They can still stay married. So now the Gemara says, Lema Masnissin Veloiket Rameir. Do we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rameir? The Tanya, Udiu in the Masechta, we learn, and then we're going to talk about it later. We're going to talk about it later in the Masechta as well, towards the end. Katan Uktana Lechotin Velo Miyamin Divir Rameir. Rameir says that a Katan and a Katana can't do Chalitza or Yibum. Chalitza because, so first of all, it does say in the Pasuk Ish, and we learned in a previous parak, that we can learn also maybe that the same thing applies to an Isha, but why not Yibum? Because Rav Meir is, we say in many places in Shas, is chayish l'miuta. He's concerned about the miut, and a miut of boys end up being a sris chama, where they never develop physically, and a miut of girls become turn out to be an Ilonis. He's concerned that it may turn out that he's a sris chama, or she's an Ilonis, and therefore Yibum cannot be done in that case, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta. So now it comes out that they've done via, which is also, because after all, as we know, whenever Yibum is not possible, then you have the Issur of Eishes Ach. So the mayor says they can't do Yibum. So according to the mayor, how would they be able to stay married in our Mishnah? The answer is a filutamer of mayor. You could answer still that our Mishnah goes according to the mayor. Piyamer of mayor gdoyla lakotna, ptana lagado. Rav Meir is talking about if she's already bas mitzvah and he's a cotton or vice versa, the chad minayu bia di sorahu. Where what happens is that one of them is now doing a bia which is also. After all, a gadol or gdoyla is already of the age to be punished for a bia which is also. So now what happens is, let's say, for example, she's a Gdola. So fine, we know that she's not an Ilonis, but he might be a Sris Chama who's not able to do Yibum. And it comes out, once we find out that he's a Sris, then it may come out retroactively that she's been doing a Bia of Isur. Abba, Katna, Balak, Tana. But when we have both of them are a Katna and a Tana, the Tavayu Ki Adori Ninu, neither of them are Chayiv and Mitzvahs yet. And we're actually going to learn in the next Perek, we're going to have a whole discussion on the point of if a katan is doing something of Isur, not necessarily do we have to stop him from doing it. Because a katan is not bar enshin.
Katan, yeah. What is that?
Katan, oichon levela, said in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Simen Shin Mem Gimel. And in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Simen Shin Mem Gimel towards the end of Hilchos Shabbos. But we're going to talk about it on Dr. Kufyud Gimel, Kufyud Dalet of Ormond Sefta, the next day. Anyway, So therefore, so you could argue, when it's a katan and a katana, neither of them is actually chayiv and mitzvahs, so maybe even a mayor wouldn't worry about it. Loyama, he wouldn't say that there'd be a problem, because even if it turns out that one of them, that both, that even if it turns out that it was a bia of Isser, so what? Neither of them is chayiv and mitzvahs yet. The Gemara says, can't be. The next part of the Mishnah says that if he's a katan and she's a gdola, then she should raise him. In other words, they still stay married. And the pashtus, that means they can still continue to have relations. Fine, but even Rav Meir might say that if they already had relations with the Eved, then they can stay married. He would say v'hatchila, a cotton shouldn't be doing yibum with a gdola, or vice versa, because of the possibility, because chayish l'miyota, and there might be an issur. But if already they had relations, then he's not necessarily going to say they have to separate. The Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hatigadlenu karmar. But the Mishnah says she should raise him, implying they continue to have relations. And after all, according to the mayor, they're called B.O. B.O. D.S.O.R.H.U. Doesn't it come out, according to the mayor, that there's a possibility that every bia is also. After all, if there's the possibility that he's a Sris Chama, then not just the first bia, but every bia after that, until we know that he's not, is potentially an issue. So how could the mayor allow them to stay married? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamach barter must listen to like Reb Meir. Okay, so it's clear that our Mishnah can't be like Reb Meir. Usually a Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir, but sometimes we have exceptions, and this is one of them. Okay. Next, the question, though, is, even if we don't hold like Reb Meir, Kri kan lahokim la'achim shem, why don't we apply over here the rule? After all, the Pasuk says that the purpose of Yibum is to establish a name for the brother. B'hai la'abar hochi, or a katan is not capable of that. He's not capable of fathering children yet. So, how are we allowing him to do Yibum in the first place? Don't you still have the same, even if we don't say that he might be a Suskama, isn't that a reason itself to say that at this point the relationship is one that's also? The answer is Amar Abaye, Amar Kru, Yavama, Yavay Aleh, called Yehu. Yeah, but the Pasuk says that the Pasuk says Yavama, Yavay Aleh, rather than Tosfos says, it could have said Achi Hames, Yavay Aleh. That means whatever kind of Yavam, even if he's not actually right now capable of having children, but eventually he will be. So a Swiss Chama is one thing. He's not going to be in the future able to have children. Tosfos points out, it's true, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that in principle a Swiss Chama can be cured, but it's not very likely. As opposed to a Katan is highly likely to reach Gadlus, and therefore we can say that even now as a Katan, he's still included in that, he's not yet at the point of the Hakim L'Achim Shem, but nevertheless he's still included in Yibum. Rabba says you don't need that. Belav hafinami by Matis Amr. Even without that, you can't possibly say that a cotton would be precluded from Yibum, because me ikamidi de hashta sidolei olavosa shai to sharia. How could it be? What would you say? That his brother passed away when he's 10 years old, let's say. So you're going to say that right now, until he turns 13, the Yavama is off limits to him, and then 3 years later, when he becomes 13, now she first becomes mutter to him? Whenever you don't have at the time when the husband dies and she comes for Yibum, that when Yavama Yavay Aleha is not possible, when at that point the Yavam is not able to have relations with her, as we had examples earlier in the Masechta, where at the time of his death, for example, she was an heir to him, because she was his wife's sister, let's say, then we treat her like a brother's wife who has children, ba'asura, and then she's also, meaning, in other words, that the key thing is what happens when the husband dies. What was the scenario then? So if you're going to tell me, says Rava, that, so the same way as, for example, we say earlier in the Masechta, that, let's say, so we talk about a case where he's married to her sister, so you have Reuven and Shimon married to two sisters, and Reuven dies, and one of them is up for Yibum to Shimon, where we say she's potter because she's an erva, she's his wife's sister. But even if after the Nefillah, if Shimon's wife were to die, so now she's not an erva to him anymore. Nevertheless, at the time of Nefillah, she was still also. Well, says Rava, by the same logic, if you were to say, and therefore she's also to him forever. By the same logic, you would say that if you were to say that she's also to him as a cotton, then you'd have that at the time of Nefila she was also, and later on she becomes mutter. That's impossible. So Gemara says, "Ve'ema hachinami." Okay, so maybe indeed that's the case. Maybe indeed, if the brother was a cotton at the time of Nefila, maybe in fact she is also to him. How do you know that not? The answer is, "Amakra ki yeshvu achim yachtav afilu ben yemechem." After all, the pasuk says, "When brothers live together in the world," that means. And then Yavama Yavayala, that means even if they live together only for a short amount of time, even if the brother was born only on that day. Now when he's born only on that day, obviously he's still a cotton, he's gonna be a cotton for many years, and still the pasuk is implying that Yibum has to be done. This is in fact, Tosfos points out, towards the beginning of the Masechta, the concept of Eishes Achiv Shalai Hayavai Lama, that if after Reuven passes away, Shimon is born, Then we say that Shimon can't do chalitza. Shimon can't do Yibum and doesn't have to do chalitza because he wasn't in the world at the same time as Reuven. But implying if they were in the world at the same time, then chalitza or Yibum has to be done, even though he's a cotton.
This is why
I'm the story of Gitna Ashmed. I cried over there. Yes. So the point is that so that limud itself implies that yes, when he's a cotton, even when he's below the age of bia, nevertheless he is mutter to the yavama at the time. practically speaking, his bia is not a bia until he's 9, and full yibum doesn't take place till he's 13, but nevertheless, he is mutter to her, and we don't say that they were also at the time, and he becomes mutter later. Okay, the Mishnah said,
We don't make him wait? Or her
so
wait?
We do make him wait. What we're saying is, in our Mishnah, if, when he was already 9, and his bia is a bia, he married the Yavama, then we don't force them to separate. We say, if she's a Ketana, then Yigdulu's, if she's a Ketana as well, Yigdulu's aim's there. We let them grow up together. We let them stay married. If she's a Gdola to Gadlenu, then she raises him, and eventually he becomes my mitzvah. Yeah, that's the point. In other words, we're not saying that Machatchila you should do it. Based in Mepashas wouldn't allow it to be done Machatchila, but if it's done, then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Mishnah said, Yavama Sha'amra B'Sech Shloshim Yom Gomer, that we have the case where the Yavama claims that the Yavam has not yet had relations with her, and we distinguish between whether that claim was within 30 days or after 30 days. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Da'ad Plosim Yomin Muki Inish Anapshe. Which Tana would it be that says that up to 30 days he might hold himself back and not have relations? Amar Rav Yechon and Rav Meir. That would be according to Rav Meir. Now, we said before that the previous part of the Mishnah was not according to Rav Meir. The Gemara is not bothered by that, though, because these are different dinim. The Gemara will often say that how do you have the Reisha is according to one Tana and the Sefer is according to another, but that's when they're on the same topic. Here, they're on different topics. One about a cotton, another one about a different case entirely involving Gedolim, where she says, Aloy Nivalti, so therefore the Gemara is not bothered by those might be from different Tanoi. Anyway, so Rabbi Yechanan says it would be according to the main. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Tainas Besurim. Now, what can happen is, we're going to learn in Ksubas in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, that there can be something called Tainas Besulim, where the husband, after they got married, claims that his wife was not a Besula. Now, he's not claiming that she was Mizana during the Erusin and is also to him or something, but she's saying, I married her as a Besula, and therefore I promised her a Ksuba of 200 Zuz. Turns out that she's not a Besula. I want to renege on that and say that I only owe 100 for the Ksuba. So that's Tainas Besulim. So for
him. Start to the marriage.
So, yeah, that's not a really good start to the marriage, but yeah. So Tainas Besulim calls Shloshim Yom Divrei Meir. So the Meir says he can make such a claim throughout the first 30 days and claim that I haven't had relations. Divrei Meir, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nistera La'alter. Rabbi Yossi says if she was secluded with him, La'alter, then he can only make the claim right away. If he claims any time later, then we wouldn't believe him, says Rabbi Yossi, because what likely happened is he had relations with her, he found her Absula, and now he's trying to trump up charges against her because he decided he doesn't like her. Loy Nistera, but if they weren't secluded together, after the Lach Kamashon, and then even many years later, he would be believed. So it's not necessarily 30 days, like the mayor said. So here our Mishnah is saying 30 days, so it sounds like our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir.
Yeah. Which would be a problem.
It's not a problem, that we're just saying. No. Chayish L'miyota is as far as children. Here we're talking about as far as adults. But the question is only whether...
No.
So we said the first part of the Mishnah is not like Rav Meir. That's why we said a cotton and a tana. We said,
this one is, and that's
this, yeah, yeah. And again, that's what I'm saying, because they're different, the parts of the Mishnah are talking about completely different dinim, so the Gemara is not bothered by the previous part, might not be like a mayor, and this part is. So therefore, so Rabbi Yechanan says, so that's it. So it means that part of the Mishnah is like a mayor. On the other hand, Rabba Omar, Philo Tamir Rabbi Yossi, no, it could even go like Rabbi Yossi. Ad Kam, the Kamar Rabbi Yossi, Hosim El Baru Sose de Gispa. You know what Rabbi Yossi is talking about, where she's his own arusa. He's more familiar with her. So therefore, the likelihood is that probably as soon as they were able to have relations, then he went ahead and did that. Abel, Esha Sochiv, Mibzaz, Bozes, Mina, but when it comes to his brother's wife, he's embarrassed of her. So even Rabbi Yossi might say that it might take 30 days for him to become comfortable enough with her to have relations with her. So therefore, during the first 30 days, there's a good likelihood that in fact he didn't. And therefore that the claim is valid that he didn't do that. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Ad Shekoshin Ose Lach Letzach Ben Eliyabim. Why are we forcing him to give her chalitza? In that case, force him to do yibum instead. And the answer is Amar Rav B'Shigita Yotzi Mitachas Yada. The case is that she has a get in her hand. Now, what kind of get are we talking about? At the moment, we're assuming it means a regular get. But we're going to see. We're going to see soon in the Gemara whether, in fact, that's what it is. But the point is, so again, like we said in the Mishnah, she's claiming that he gave me a get that takes care only of the minor, for the zika, and therefore I still need chalitza to be mutter to marry anybody else. He says, no, we had relations. This is a regular get. Go ahead. But either way, the point is, once a get was given, then Yibum was precluded. So therefore, there's no question. There's no possibility of forcing him to do Yibum. Okay, the Gemara says Mace. You know, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says Yibum Ashama B'Seich Shloshim Yom Lo Nivalti. If during the first 30 days she says we've not yet had relations, Ben Shu Oma Baalti, Ben Shu Oma Loi Baalti. No matter what he claims, whether he says I did have relations or whether or not. Either way, we force him to give her chalitza. But if she says it after the 30 day, then as we said in the Mishnah, we only ask him to give her chalitza. We don't force him because there's a good reason to think that maybe in fact he did already do bi'ila with her. Continues the Braisa with other cases. What if she, the other way around? What if she says we did have relations and he says I did not? How is it yotzi beget? Then he divorces her with a get because she says nivalti and therefore all I need is a get. So again, now Rashi learns that this is talking about after 30 days. And therefore again after 30 days we don't assume that he's held himself back. The likelihood is, even though he's saying loy ba'alti, the chances are that we don't take him at his word, that in fact he was boil, and therefore that a get is enough. Tosfos has a long discussion over here, and many other Rishonim get into a discussion about this and the next few cases of the Braisa, whether indeed all of them are la'acha shloshim, or whether some of them are within shloshim. So Tosfos discusses the possibility that maybe even this second case would be that this second case might actually be the Soch Shloshim. Because given that she's saying Nivalti, and therefore get would be enough, and the fact that he's saying Nivalti wouldn't matter. A third case. So that's the second case. Now what happens again if he says I had relations, she said we did not, then even if he changes his mind and says that I did not, sort of get the chalitza, then he needs get and chalitza, so he needs get to cover his bia because he says ba'alti. And again, now she learns that this is after 30 days. She needs chalitza though because she made herself chaticha de isura. Now, this is in effect the same as the first case of the Braisa, with the exception that there it just says he's in the first case of the Braisa, we're saying that he said Boalti. The difference is we're saying over here that he changes his mind and says Loi Boalti. Either way, the point is that we need a get and chalitza, a get for the actual Be'ila because we assume it did actually take place, and chalitza because she's claiming that it didn't and therefore she needs chalitza. Again, Rashi learns that this is talking about after 30 days, and Tosfos discusses maybe not. Anyway, the point is that we see that the case of our Mishnah is that we're saying in the Braisa that she needs a get and chalitza, implying we're not talking about where she has a get yet. And yet you're telling me before that the case of our Mishnah, which is identical with the first case of the Braisa, is that she has a get already in her hand. So we're back to the question. If she doesn't have a get in her hand, why are we forcing him to do chalitza? Why don't we instead force him to do yibum? And the answer is, Amar Rav Ami, tzricha chalitza im gita. The answer is, Rav Ami says, it doesn't mean that she first needs to give her a get now. It means, along with the get which she already has in her hand, she in addition needs chalitza. But we don't mean that he first is giving her a get now. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. There are actually two kinds of get, as we've learned before. She does require another get because the original get that she's holding was only to cover the zika. So that hassled her from Yibum, but it didn't accomplish anything as far as making her mutter to marry others. So now we can't force him to do Yibum because Yibum at this point is closed off because of that get was ikasa. but he's saying Ba'alti, so therefore she needs a get for that. Because after all, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, yesh bia achara get, that even though the bia takes place after the get, and it's only a bia psula, nevertheless, it still has an effect that on a daraisa level, after all, it was a valid bia, and therefore that it needs a regular get. But in addition, you also need chalitza, and that would be what the braisa is saying. So even though the braisa is saying, even though he changes his mind and says loy ba'alti, and therefore you should argue that maybe all she needs is chalitza, nevertheless she needs both a get and chalitza, because maybe in fact he did have relations with her, and even though it was a bia psula, it still requires a get, but then it still requires chalitza as well. Tosfos says something else as well, that even if he says loy ba'alti, still just chalitza is not going to be enough. She's going to need to have the get as a proof that in the future she's going to be able to remarry. Okay. The Gemara says, Hanu shneim moedim da osula kame de Rabba. It happened once that a Yavam and a Yavama came to Rabba, and both of them were agreeing that loy nivala. So first the Yavam had been claiming ba'alti, and then he changed his mind and said, you know what, it's true, loy, and he agrees that loy ba'alti. So Rava says to his Talmidim, okay, arrange for her a chalitza and dismiss her case. In other words, all she needs is chalitza. Didn't we learn in the Braisa that she needs both get and chalitza? So Rava says, Itanya Tanya. Okay, if it says in a Braisa, then it says in a Braisa. Sometimes in the Gemara that means that he's saying, okay, then you're right, I changed my mind, and in that case we have to follow the Braisa and she needs a get as well. There are some places where an Amora says Itanya Tanya. And sometimes it means, if it says a braisa, very nice, but I'm still sticking to my opinion because I hold that the braisa is not so authoritative. So here it could be, I guess, okay. The Gemara says, Bominel Hoin Breder of Nachman, Mer of Nachman. Hoin, that was his name. It's interesting. Usually Rabbi Huna, he was Hun or Hoin without the Aleph. Anyway, so he was the son of Rabbi Nachman. So he asked his father, Rabbi Nachman, Sarasa Mavu. What if there's a psora involved over here? So, you have so Reuben was married to two wives. Reuben was married to two unrelated wives. We'll call them Rachel and Miriam. Shimon married Rachel, and on the face of it, then Miriam is now Potter, because once you do Yibum with one wife from a bias, then that covers all of them. So now later on you have this claim where Rachel is saying Loi Nivalti. Does that make Miriam now usher as a result of that? Rav Nachman answers in Mechim Mitnei Sharanu Kofinim of Action to Aset Sarah. What's the logic that you're thinking? Because we're forcing him to give chalitza, or because we're requesting him to do chalitza in order to cover her? Because after all, she made herself a chaticha v'isura. Does that mean that because of that, her tzara should be also? No. The chazaka is that when a man marries a woman, he usually has relations with her. That chazaka is strong enough to keep that Miriam is still mutter. Rachel, we're going to have to deal with, she needs chalitza and possibly a get as well, depending on the circumstances. But to go so far as to say that Miriam would be also, we're not going to do that. Okay. The Mishnah has continued. The Mishnah had continued that if the Yavama made a neder that she's also to have anah from her Yavam. So we distinguish between whether she made the neder while her husband was alive versus after her husband passed away, versus within that, you could say, what if she made the neder while her husband was alive, but specifically meaning to preclude you? So the Gemara says, Tznan Hossam. So we learn a Mishnah at the end of Nedarim that bears on this. The Mishnah says, Barishoinu Hoyoinim, originally the Chachamim said, the halacha is, Shalish Noshim Yotis V'Noitlis Ksuba. There are three cases where a woman where we make the man divorce the wife, and she's still entitled to her ksuba. Number one, her Meres Tmei Anilach, where she says to her husband, who is a Kohen, I am Tomei to you. In other words, I was raped, and therefore I'm also to you. So she doesn't lose her ksuba for reasons that the Gemara discusses at the end of Nedarim, because she says, in effect, it's kind of your fault. If you had been in Yisrael, there would be no problem. I'd still be mutter to you, but because you're a Kohen, therefore I'm also to you, so it's your problem that I can't that we can't stay married, not mine, therefore I haven't forfeited my ksuba by that. That's the first one. The second one is Hashemayim Beni Levena. She says heaven is between me and you. In other words, that only Hashem knows what's going on between me and you. So Rashi explains it means that she's saying you're not having a relationship with me. Well, since they have to do it in private, nobody else can know the truth of that other than Hashem. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says that in the Gemara in Nedarim says that actually it means that she's saying that you are having relations with me, but you're not yoda techet. Your zera is not shooting like an arrow. You're impotent, in other words. Yeah. So, and the third one was if she says netchula ani mina yehudim. If she says I'm making a neder that I will not have any relations with any Jews. Now, so therefore, so what does that mean? If she makes such a neder, obviously Tashmish must be very, very difficult or very, very bothersome or painful for her. And therefore, so it's considered an oynes, and therefore in all three cases, we would say she is entitled to her ksufa. Now, Chazru Eloyma, the Mishnah continues, the Chachamim later on changed their mind, and they said, Shaloi Tehei Isha Nesenes Einei Ba'acher from Kalkalas HaBayla. You can't have, what could happen, that the woman really wants to marry somebody else, and she's making these excuses to get out of her marriage, and she's messing things up for her husband, that she's forcing her husband to divorce her when there's not necessarily a valid reason for it, and it's just because she has her eyes on somebody else. And in particular, Dashi says, in the third case, what might happen is she might have made the neder, even though she made a neder to ask her all Jews to herself, maybe she really only did it in order to get out of this marriage. Now she's going to go someplace else where they don't know who she is. They don't know that she made this neder, and she's going to be married. And it turns out that the neder was only in order to get out of a marriage that she didn't like. Ella. So rather, the Mishnah continues that now there are new dinim of these three cases. In the first case, if she says Tmei Ani Loch, we don't just take her at her word. She has to bring a raya for it. Otherwise, we don't accept her word. When it comes to Hashemayim, now in Shulchan Aruch it talks about that maybe you could have if he knows that he can believe her. If he says that he trusts her, maybe in that case he does divorce her and give her a ksuba. Although it's not so simple, especially nowadays with Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, where you can't divorce her against her will. So then it becomes not so simple. Anyway, Hashemayim Beni Levenach, if she, the second claim, where she says you're not having relations with me, or where you're not Yoreh Techet, Yasu Derech Bakosha, so let them arrange it in a way of Bakosha. So there's a few different explanations. Rashi says it means that Beis Din asks her husband, okay, treat her decently and do what you're supposed to do with her. Tosfos brings a couple of explanations One is that it means they should daven to Hashem to fix up the situation. And another explanation from Rabbi Hanano is we tell him she's obviously very upset with you. Make her a nice suda, and that way she'll be more likely to be on good terms with you. Anyway, but the point is we don't automatically say that he should divorce her. And in the third case, in the Tula, I mean, I heard him. So what happens is Yofer Chelkai, the husband is made for his part, because after all, the husband is entitled to be made for Nedarim that affect their marital relationship. So he's made for the part of the Neder that applies to him. Then they can continue having relations. Now, if we're saying, as we said before, that she's claiming that it's painful for her, obviously, you know, as a decent husband, he should be trying to do something to help with that. But the fact is she doesn't have the ability to answer herself to him in that, because after all, she has the ability to make such a neder, but he has the ability to cancel it. Fine. If in the future he dies or divorces her, then she will be usur in Tashmish or to get married to any other Jew. Thus far, the Mishnah.
Didn't work for her.
So now the Chacham have a question. In that case, Netula Ani Mina Yehudim Lo Yavam Mahu. In that case, where she said Netula Ani Mina Yehudim, what would be the din as far as her doing Yibum? Would we say that the Neder includes the Yavam we were talking about, where she made the Neder while her husband was alive? So does it include the Yavam or not? Is there the possibility? So Mi Maska Daita the Mayis Baila the Nafla Kama Yavam Ayla. Is it that she has in mind that conceivably her husband might die and she winds up to Yibum in front of the Yavam? And therefore, so when she made the Neder, she specifically had him in mind. So now the husband was only made for his Chelet. So now, therefore, she remains also to the Yavam. Oiloi, or do we say that not? That what she mean, maybe what she meant was she's making a Neder that anybody who, as soon as her husband dies or divorces her, she would be mutter to him, that she has that in mind. But in other words, what happens is she's making that neder. On the contrary, Rashi says it may be that she's doing it lahofis daita shabayla. She's doing it in order to make her husband feel better. Her husband thinks that she has eyes for somebody else, so she makes a neder. Natulani mina yehudim. Don't think I ever plan to get remarried after our marriage is over because I don't want to have any. I hate men and I don't want to have anything to do with them. But maybe she's not having in mind the yavam, because after all, maybe the yavam, she's not going to be mutter to as automatically as so Rashi actually says she's having in mind anybody that she'd be mutter to after she gets divorced. Now, if she gets divorced, obviously the yavam is also to her. So maybe she doesn't have him in mind. Maybe he's not included in the neder in the first place.
How can you make a neder against the positive commandment of the Torah? We saw
because the neder takes effect before that positive commandment takes effect. So therefore, it's similar to the way if a person were to make a neder that matzah is also to me, then when Pesach comes, he can't eat matzah. I have mitzvah to eat matzah, but it's called kolo dvarim amutorim im dvarim hasurim. He combined together in his neder things that are also and things that are mutter, and therefore we say that the neder is chal. So in the same way, everything. Anyway, Tosfos has a few problems with Rashi's explanation that, Tosfos rather explains that the question is, do we say that she intended to aser herself on the Yavam, and therefore, like we said in the Mishnah, we can only ask the Yavam to give her chalitza, but we can't force him, or maybe she didn't do that, and then we're saying that therefore he would actually be able to do Yivam, or he would be able to do Yivam with her. So Rav Omer Yavam ain't a kabal, or Shmuel Omer Yavam harei kabal. So it's machlok. Rav says the yavam is not like the husband, meaning, in other words, that she had in mind the husband when she made the neder, but not the yavam. So therefore, the yavam shall be mutter even without hafara. That's according to Rashi. And according to Tosfos, she didn't even think when she made the neder to ask herself on the yavam. So therefore, but the fact is she is also to the yavam. So therefore, we would force him to give her chalitza. It would be similar to the case of our Mishnah where she made a neder against her yavam of chayei baila, where she didn't yet have in mind at the time that it could potentially preclude her from yivam with the yavam, and therefore we would in fact force him to give her chalitza. That's according to Tosfos. Shmuel says the husband, the yavam is like the husband. So according to Rashi, it would mean that she is in fact also to the yavam. And according to Tosfos, it would mean that we've just asked him to do chalitza. Omer Abaya, kavasei de Rav Mistamra. So Abaya says it's more logical to follow Rav, the Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. Hanederes hanami yavama b'chaye baila. If she makes a neder of hanah, that she won't have hana from her yavam while, and the neder was made while her husband was alive. Then we say we force him to do chalitza. Now, if you're going to say that she might have had in mind at the time of the neder that it would include the yavam as well, that is, she being mevakshin, because there's a good chance that she actually had him in mind. So therefore, you see, it's more likely to say like that, that she did not intend to have him in mind. So therefore, again, according to Rashi, it would mean that she's mutter. There's nothing that we don't even need to force him to do anything because she is mutter to him in yibum or in chalitza. And according to Tosfos, the vote would be that we would actually Rav is saying that koyfenos yeshriach chutzla. But yeah, if you were to say not like Rav, that then you would have to say mevachin. The Gemara says not necessarily, because hochav mayaskin the isha sheyesh labonim, because you could be talking about where she has children. And to be technically, the Oruch Haner points out, it's not really if she has children, it's more if her husband has children, but whatever. The kol ha'ilei maskar daita. To that extent, if when she made this neder, she had children with her husband, and therefore Yibum was certainly not going to be happening anyway, the chance that those children would die, and then her husband would die, and therefore she'd be up for Yibum, is remote enough that we could say that's the case where she didn't necessarily have in mind the Yavam when she made this neder. She had in mind anybody that she'd be mutter to, like Rashi said, if her husband divorces her, and that certainly wouldn't include the Yavam, but it also includes, even if it includes anybody that she'd be mutter to, once her husband dies, fine, she'd still be also to the Yavam because they have children. To go to that extent, he wouldn't say. But that doesn't show, so the Gemara says, Avol ein labonim mayim of action. So you're telling me that what, if when she makes this neder, even though her husband is alive, if she doesn't have children at that time, then the result would be that we would only ask him to do chalitza, but we wouldn't require it. Well then, add the Tani in the Skav Malkacha to the B'chaya Baila, Mivakshin Meneshiachasa, then why is the Mishnah only distinguishing between if she had Kavana to include the Yavam or not in her Neder, that we say that only in that case, Mivakshin Emena, in that case, Lichlig V'lichni V'dida. The Mishnah could have pointed out a distinction between that case itself of the Neder, even if she didn't specifically have the Yavam in mind. When would we say that Koyfin Osir Shiachlatzla, only if she had children at the time, so then the chance of Yibum was very, very remote, and therefore there's a high likelihood that her neder was never meant to include the Yavam in the first place. Avol Ema Bonim Mavakshin, but if she didn't have children at the time, then Mavakshin, because then there's a much higher likelihood that her neder was meant specifically to cover the Yavam as well. Now, the fact that the Mishnah makes no such distinction shows Loishna Yesh Labonim, Loishna In Labonim, Koyfinose Kedab. It shows that regardless if she made the Neder, B'chaye Baila, whether she had children or not, then we would say like Rab, that Yavam Ena Kibal, and we actually force him to give her Chalitza. Shmamina, so good, that proves it, and that's how it is then. So if she makes such a Neder, and then we say that Yavam ain't a Kabal, and therefore, so according to Rashi, she would actually be Mutter. According to Tosfos, and that seems to be the more straightforward reading of the Gemara, is we would say that we would force him to give a Chalitza. Rashi obviously can't argue with the Gemara. He would say that it means that it would mean if we're not going to do Yibum, then we force him to do Chalitza. We say you can't just leave her stuck, as opposed to in cases of Mavakshin, we could say, listen, you know, it's not your fault. If you don't want to give her Chalitza because of the problems that it will create, as we said before, then fine, we can't force you to. But in this case, we could, because the fact is that her neder was not meant to include you in the first place. Therefore, it's not really her fault that now the Yibum can't be done. And therefore, it's as much on you as it is on her, and therefore, Kaitan. Chadron Allah Bishamai. So now we'll start the next paragraph, of course. This is a fairly short paragraph, since I don't know if it's the shortest, but anyway. It is pretty short. It runs only from here until Kofi Dalaram and Bez. Two daffing, yeah. Anyway. We talked in the previous paragraph about the issue of a cheresh or a cherches, where a cheresh or a cherches, we said, is a deaf mute, where in halacha we consider they don't have das. And when it comes to chalitza, we also have the problem they can't do chalitza because they can't say the relevant psukim. And you said that if they can say them, they just don't, then the chalitza is still kosher. But if they're physically incapable of saying them, then the chalitza is possible. So now our Mishnah, our parak, is going to deal with various permutations of issues involving chereshim in terms of yibum or chalitza. So the Mishnah says, cheresh shenasa pikachas or pikachas shenasa or pikeach shenasa chereshes. If either the husband or the wife is a cheresh. Im rotza lahoitzi. So now we have to consider the marriage exists only derabban, because a regular marriage you need the das of both parties, and a cheresh doesn't have das, and neither does a chereshes. So if a cheresh marries a pikachas or a pikeach marries a chereshes, either way the marriage exists only derabban. So in the previous parak we were learning about a ketana, where the marriage exists only derabbanon. Here we're talking about a cheresh or a cherishes, where we said also the marriage exists only derabbanon, although we talked about the other day in the Gemara, that's a different kind of derabbanon. We ended up saying over there that a ketana is a suffix, we treat as a suffix, whereas a cheresh we treat as an incomplete king. So either way, imrotza lahoitzi yotzi, if he wants to divorce her, then he can do that. Imrotza l'kayim yikayim, if they want to stay married, then they could. Now, obviously, Tosfos said there's no real fiddush, but they can stay married. The point is, since we're mentioning that if they want yotzi, so it mentions also the opposite case. The point is, the Mishnah says, now what do you mean? How could a cheresh give a get? On the face of it, he needs das. The answer is Kashem Shu Kurnis Bidamiza, Kahu Moitz Bidamiza. The same way as he married her with hand signals or sign language or whatever. That, in other words, if marriage was done not in the usual way of him saying Hareat Mukudeshes or her hearing that because one of them is a cheresh, the same way he can be Moitzi Bidamiza, the same way the marriage exists only Dirabbanan, therefore the divorce can also be done on a Dirabbanan level involving Remiza. So it is a valid divorce. On the other hand, pikeach shenasa pikachas v'nischarsha. Now, on the other hand, if a pikeach marries a pikachas, so they're both normal, and later on she becomes a chereshes, so again imrotza yotzi, he still could divorce her because alpi din Torah and alpi din de Gemara, a divorce doesn't require the wife's consent. It can be baal karcha.
Avim Rotsa Yekayim, if he wants, he can stay married to her. On the other hand, the status lo yotzi. But if she becomes a shota, then he cannot divorce her. Now, in principle, he should be able to, because so what? She doesn't need das. But the point is, the Gemara is going to explain that that was a takana of the Chacham. Because a chershis, even though in halacha she lacks das, in practice she's able to actually to keep control of herself, and she's not going to end up hefker, and she's not going to end up on the streets. But a shota doesn't have the mental ability to do that, therefore we're concerned that she's going to end up hefker, that yina go bumming hefker, people are going to treat her as hefker, and then do whatever they want with her, and therefore the chacham made a takana that her husband should not divorce her. Continues the Mishnah, Nishara Shua Nishtata, if he became a Cheresh or he became a Shota, Einam Etziya Elamis, then he can never divorce her because a get requires his das. This is the kind of thing, by the way, when you're talking about where he became a Shota and then the point that he can't give her a get. There were quite a few cases over the years in Jewish history involving such things that became major controversies where there ended up with a question, is the husband in fact a Shota or not? Can he give a get? There have been many, many Shilas Atruvas written on the subject. There have been several times when these things blew up into major controversies. One of them was, for example, about 250 years ago, something called the Get of Kliva, where there was reason to believe that the husband was a Shoita and can't give a get. And then some Rabbanim argued that it is a valid get, and there was a huge machlokas about it for the most part, the Rabbanim of Frankfurt took one side of it, the Rabbanim of almost all the rest of the Jewish world took the other side, and became a huge controversy. They say that in the end, actually, the guy became normal again, and the two of them reconciled, and they got married again. So when he married her, when he remarried her, he said, Harayat Kodeshesli, or something to that effect. He added an extra word over there, like you're still Makodesh to me, and that way it covers all bases. So the point is though that if he's a Shoita, or he's a Cheresh, then he can't divorce her. Now, Amr of Yechon, the Nurim of Nemaha, Ishish and Ischarish, a Yotza, or Ishin Ischarish, any Motzi. What's the difference? Why are you telling me that if she's a Cheresh, she could be divorced, but if he's a Cheresh, he can't? There's a big difference. Because a woman can be divorced against her will until Cherim Deb and Gershon. A man can divorce only with his Rasa. Now, it's a very obvious distinction. How does Rabbi Yechon and Nuri not know that? The Gemara is going to say, the Gemara is going to discuss on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis what Rabbi Yechon and Nuri is getting at, and the Gemara is going to explain that Rabbi Yechon and Nuri is arguing the same way as he can't divorce when he's a Cheresh, the same way we shouldn't be allowing him to divorce her when she's a Cheresh. He's arguing, in other words, that there should be Chemdem and Gershon includes that you can't marry two wives, but what's relevant for our purpose is that you can't divorce a woman against her will. But here we're talking verses before that. So Rabbi Yechon and Nuri is arguing, the Gemara is going to end up saying that he's saying the same way as a Cheresh cannot divorce, the same way a Cheresh shouldn't be able to be divorced. And the Chachamim are arguing that there's a distinction. So we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, why Rabbi Yechon and Nuri is making that argument and what the Chachamim are answering him. So the Mishnah continues, Hey Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgida, al Cheresh she'siyavia, Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgida gave Eders, in front of the Chachamim, about a Ketana who was married off by her father, where that is a Kedushin Daraisa, that he gave Eders, she yotze beget, that she can be divorced by a get. She's a Ketana, doesn't matter, doesn't matter, because a Ketana, you can divorce even though she lacks das. This is the same Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgida who was one of the gatekeepers in the Bismikdash, and Rabbi Yeshua wanted to help him. But anyway, let's go on. We'll talk biographies afterwards. So now the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yechon and Nuri, the same way as you can divorce a Ketana, even though she doesn't have das, the same way you can divorce a Cheresh for the same reason. Meaning, Tosfa says, once Rabbi Yechon and Nuri brought up his point that he wants to argue you can't divorce a Cheresh, then the Chachamim brought Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgida to the Beis Medrash, and he gave his Eidus, and then the Chachamim turned to Rabbi Yechon and Nuri and said, you see, it's the same kind of thing. The Tosfos explains like this. Now we're going to learn about Rabbi Yechon and Nuri's opinion tomorrow, but Tosfos points out the reason why Rabbi Yechon and Nuri would argue you can't divorce a Cheresh even though he agrees with Rabbi Yechon ben Gurgada that you could divorce a ketana, he says because a cherishes, at the time when you give her the get, she's not going to understand what's going on. You have to have that mishalcha ve'ena chezeres. The definition of a get is that she has enough das to understand this is it. The marriage is over. I'm not returning to this house. A cherishes is not going to be capable of doing that. On the other hand, the chachamim counter that the difference is that eventually you'll physically remove her from the house, and at that point she'll realize that's it, I'm not coming back. So even though she may not realize at the time of the get, but eventually she does realize. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri doesn't like that idea. He says at the time of the get she has to be able to realize that, and she can't yet. She's a chershis, she receives a piece of paper, she doesn't realize that this cuts off her marriage. So therefore, so he said, that's why he says that you can't divorce a chershis. But the chachamim are telling him the same note, the same way as you could divorce a tana, you could divorce a chershis. Continues the Mishnah. Beis Achin Chershin Nesuin LeBeis Achoyes Chershis. If two brothers who are Chershim are married to two sisters who are Chershis, where again, keep in mind, the marriage is only Dirabanan, or the Shtei Achoyes Pichos, or the two sisters are Pichos, doesn't matter, either way, the marriage is Dirabanan because the husbands are Chershim, or the Shtei Achoyes Achas Chershis Vachas Pichachas, or one of them is a Chershis and the other one is a Pichachas, or the other way around, Beis Achoyes Chershis Nesuin LeShneachin Pichin, or the Shneachin Chershin and the Shneachin Echad Chersh Echad Pichach, or the other way around, the two women are Chershis, and the two brothers who are married to them are Pitzin, or Chershin, or one's Chersh and one Pitzin. In all cases, because they're sisters, then they're all potter from Chalitza or Yivum, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, because each one of them is a Chos Ishtoi to the other one. So if Reuben passes away, then Shimon is married to Leah, so Rachel is potter from Chalitza or Yivum, because he's married to her sister, and therefore she's a Chos Ishtoi. On the other hand, if the women were not sisters, if they're unrelated, then then either brother can do yibum with them. If they want to divorce them, then they could, because in all these cases, either the surviving brother is a pikeach and he's able to give a get, a regular get, or he's a cheresh, but it doesn't matter because in that case, then the marriage was dirabanan because either he or his brother or one or the other of the women was a chereshes and therefore the marriage was only dirabanan. And again, the same way as the marriage was dirabanan, the same way the divorce can be done dirabanan. So if the surviving brother is a cheresh, then fine, he can be megarish b'remiza, like we said earlier in the Mishnah. On the other hand, Shneach and Echad Cheresh Vechad Bekeach. On the other hand, if the two brothers, one is a Cheresh, one is a Bekeach, Nisuin the Shneach Hoyes Pitchais, where they're married to two sisters who are Pitchais. So now you have a twist because now one of those marriages is Dirabanan and the other one is Dardais. So, Nes Cheresh Bala Bekeachas. So if the Cheresh who's married to the Bekeachas dies, Ma Yasa Bekeach Bala Bekeachas. So now what does the Bekeach who's married to her sister, the Bekeachas, do? The answer is Tetz Mishum Achos Isha. The answer is that the wife of the Cheresh is potter on the grounds of Achos Isha because her sister's marriage is Daraisa. Her marriage was only Dirabanan, and it doesn't really matter whether her own marriage was Daraisa or Dirabanan. Either way, her sister's marriage is Daraisa, and therefore it means that you have a case of Achos Ishtoi, and therefore she's potter on those grounds, as in the usual case of Achos Ishtoi. On the other hand, Mes Pikeach Baal Pikachas, Mayas Pikeach Baal Achershes. Now though, if the Pikeach, who is, one second, I'm skipping lines over here. So, Mes Pikeach Baal Pikachas. So we say, if the Cheresh dies, no problem. His wife was married only to Rabbanon. The other couple was married Daraisa. So therefore she's potter on the grounds of Achos Ishtoi. On the other hand, if the Pikeach married to the Pikeachas dies, what does the Cheresh who's married to the Pikeachas do? Where, after all, the Yavama's marriage was Daraisa. Therefore, her Zika is Daraisa. The Cheresh's marriage with his wife is only Dirabanan. Therefore, Motzi Ishle beget. Therefore, he has to divorce his own wife with a get because the fact that the Zika with her sister makes his wife also to him because the Zika Daraisa overrides his marriage to Rabbanan. But Eshesachah, Basur of Olam, meanwhile, his brother's wife is going to be also forever because, again, he can't do Chalitza with her being a Cheresh. He can't do Yibum because her sister, his wife, who was married to him, Rabbanan, is still alive. So therefore, the Yavama is stuck until somebody in this group over here dies. Next. Shneiachim pitchin nisuin l'shteiachoyis achas cherishes v'achas bikachas. What about the other way around? Now, the Gemara is going to point out that if the cherish is not chayav mitzvahs, why are we requiring him to divorce his wife? So what? She's also chayav achoyis ishtoy. A cherish is not chayav mitzvahs. That's going to lead us into the whole discussion of katan oichel nevelos that we touched on before. Continues the Mishnah. Shneiachim pitchin nisuin l'shteiachoyis achas cherishes v'achas bikachas. If the two brothers are pitchin and they're married to two sisters, one a cherishes and one a bikachas, so again, one marriage is daraisa, one derabanan. Mes pikeach baal cherishes. So if the one married to the cherishes dies, ma yasa pikeach baal bikachas. So the pikeach, the one who's married to the bikachas, what does he do? Ketz mishum achoyis isha. Fine, the cherishes is potter on the grounds of achoyis isha because again, his marriage with her sister is daraisa, and therefore that's enough that the sister is potter as an heir. On the other hand, if the pikeach dies, if the pikeach married to the pikeachas dies, what does the pikeach who's married to the cherishes do? Same, so there, moitzias ishta beget. He has to divorce his wife of the get for the same reason, because he has the zika of her sister that makes her also to him. And again, his own marriage is only the rabbanon. His brother's marriage is zaraisa. So therefore, it overrides it. But here, v'es eishas achav b'chalitza, he being a pikeach, then he can give her chalitza. The Yavam and the Yavama are both pikhin, so therefore we can do chalitza normally, no problem. Shnei achen echad cheresh v'echad b'keach nesuin l'shtei achoyis achas cheresh v'achas b'kachas. Now what happens if the cheresh is married to a cheresh and the b'keach to a b'kachas, and their two brothers married to two sisters? So then, mes cheresh b'al cheresh mayas b'keach b'al b'kachas. So now if the cheresh whose wife was a cheresh dies, what does the pikeach baal pikachas do? Again, takes mishum achoyis isha. Again, the yavama is potter because she's his wife's sister, and his marriage with his own wife is daraisa. Mes pikeach baal pikachas mayas a cherish baal cherishes. If the pikeach dies, then what do we do as far as the pikachas? What does the cherish do? Motius isha beget beishes ochtav asur loylam. Same way as before, the cherish has to divorce his wife the cherishes for the same reason as before, because he's also to him now as a choyis zikukasoi. Meanwhile, the actual Yuvama is stuck because he can't do Yibum because of Achoy Sishtoi, and he can't do Chalitza because he's a Cheresh. Another place, Shnei Achen Echad Cheresh Ve'echad Pekeach Nesuin Neshtei Nochri is fifth place. Now what happens is the two wives, the brothers are one Cheresh, one Pekeach, the women are both Pekeach, but unlike in the previous case where they're sisters, now they're not related. So now we don't have to worry about the achos isha issue, but there's still the question, who can do yibum and who can do chalitza? So, mes cheresh baal pikachas. So if the cheresh married to the pikachas dies, ma yas pikeach baal pikachas. So what does the pikeach do? No problem. Oy cholitz oy miyabim. Then you have a regular case of zika where you can do either chalitza or yibum because the yavam and the yavam are both pikachas. Mes pikeach baal
pikachas.
Right, so, but the zika is daraisa, but yeah, so it's a zika is daraisa, but it's a regular, there's no problem of achos ishtoi, right, because the two women are not related, so therefore, so the pikeach can do the regular yibum or chalitza. Mes cheresh baal okay, so then you do as usual. You can do either chalitza or yibum as the regular case. Mes pikeach baal pikachas. Now, if the pikeach who's married to the pikachas died, mayasa cheresh baal pikachas. What does the cheresh do? Koines veinim motzi loylam. He marries the yavama because yibum he can do even as a cheresh, but he can't ever do chalitza because as a cheresh he can't do chalitza. Nor can he give a get, because again, he can't give a get either, for the same reason, because as a cheresh, he can't give a get. Shnei achim pitchin nesuin lebeiz nachrias. What if the two brothers are pitchin and they're married to two unrelated women? Achas pikachas v'achas cheresh. Mes pikeach baal cheresh mayas pikeach baal pikachas. Koines, so he can do yibum. He has to do yibum. He can't do chalitza because the yavama is a cheresh, so he can't do chalitza with her because she can't say the words. If he wants to divorce her afterwards, he could because divorce doesn't require her dais. Nes pikeach baal pikachas mayas pikeach baal cheresh. Or chalitza say miyabim. If the yavam and the yavama are both pikachim, so then chalitza and miyabim is before. The Mishnah continues, Shnei Achen Echad Cheresh Vechad Bekeach Nisurin Lebeis Nochu is Achas Cheresh Vechad Bekeach. If the two brothers are married, one is a Cheresh, one is a Bekeach, and they're married respectively to a Cheresh and a Bekeach, Nes Cheresh Vechad Cheresh Mayas Bekeach Vechad Bekeach, Koines, so he marries the Bekeach, so the Bekeach marries the Cheresh, Vimrotza Lahoitzi Yotzi, if he wants to divorce her afterwards, he could, because, again, Chalitza they can't do, but he could do, give her a get, because that doesn't require a Das, and it doesn't require her to say anything. So if the Pekeach dies, and now the Pekeachas is up for Yibum, what does the Cheresh do? The Cheresh marries the Pekeachas. There's nothing he can do after that. Chalitza is not possible, because he's a Cheresh, and a get is not possible again, because he's a Cheresh. So that covers all the various, cases. So the Gemara is not really going to analyze, I mean, the Gemara is going to analyze some of these cases, but it's more the Gemara is going to analyze the underlying principles behind these cases, because the cases themselves, once we understand the basic rules, for example, that a cheresh and a cherishes can't do yibum, and that a daraisa zika overrides the rabbanon one, then it all becomes fairly obvious. So it's more the Gemara is going to deal with in this cheresh the underlying principles under all the dinim and
onus. It almost seems that the Mishnah could have just mentioned the underlying.
The Mishnah could have mentioned the underlying principle, but it wouldn't have been so clear. It's very common in complicated cases like this that the Mishnah will often type out the details for us, so we have them in front of us.
Also, because people memorize.
Yeah, also does. Yeah,
and to memorize some kind of formula would be.
Right. Well, that may be not. I mean, Lord Mishnah Adam Samidah Derech Tzara, in fact, but still,
right.
Yeah. Okay. To be continued tomorrow.
There must be more information.